There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Love it that it's a nice day outside right now, and maybe we'll enjoy some over the weekend. Got a lot of show to do today, a lot of guests coming by. Our leadoff batter is our staff meteorologist, our tropical weather expert, our buddy Dr. Bill Williams checking in right now, so y'all can quit texting me and asking what Dr. Bill says, because we're fixing to get it from Dr. Bill. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Sean.
What's the story now? We have a name on one of these storms, and what else has changed?
Yeah, we finally have a name. Makes it a little easier to identify these storms now. Laura is a storm that is now moving, about to move across the northern Leeward Islands, which is the islands in the northern part or northeastern part of the Caribbean Sea. And it is now a tropical storm with winds of 45 miles per hour. It's going to take a long track now. It's quite a distance away from us, a track that'll take it across the Virgin Islands, across Puerto Rico. It looks like it will impact also the island of Hispaniola and move along the northern coast of Cuba. Now, the fact that it's going to be possibly crossing or be close to some of these islands, it's going to keep that storm from growing into a hurricane for a long period. And in fact, the high mountains on the island of Hispaniola, if it crosses that, it will affect it significantly, and it'll have to reorganize once it leaves that landmass. But it will continue to head toward the Gulf of Mexico, and right now it looks like it will move into the southeastern Gulf on Monday, most likely somewhere around noontime. On Monday, it'll enter the Gulf, and then start to turn more to the northwest. Once it gets in the Gulf, it's projected to become a hurricane. Of course, the Gulf waters are very warm, and the conditions will be favorable in the upper atmosphere for it to intensify and grow into at least into a minimal hurricane. The latest projection from the Hurricane Center, if you look at the center track, it takes it right into Mobile, and that would be on Wednesday between 8 a.m. and noontime. That track's going to change. We've got several days, and the fact that the storm has to go over some land areas and large islands, that track may change a bit. But right at the moment, it is targeting the central Gulf Coast for Wednesday. In the Caribbean, the Western Caribbean, we have what's going to be eventually Tropical Storm Marco. That tropical depression is near the coast of Honduras. It's turning now to the northwest and is going to begin a track that will take it across the northern Yucatan Peninsula. So it will lose a little bit of strength. There are no mountains on Yucatan. So it will lose a little bit of strength, but it will regain it and become a hurricane, a minimal hurricane, over the western Gulf of Mexico. And it now appears that that storm will make landfall around the Houston area. And that will be on Tuesday. So eventually Marco will arrive about a day earlier than Laura. And it looks like Marco may lose some strength as it nears the coast of Texas. The upper air winds will produce some shearing. So it may drop back into a tropical storm when it makes landfall in Texas. So we will see two tropical systems over the Gulf of Mexico, a very rare event.
Yeah, you're telling us this morning it's last time that happened was when?
Yeah, 1933. And one went into South Texas while another storm was over the Florida Peninsula and just touched the eastern Gulf. But here we will see two storms that will be right out over the Gulf. There is a slight chance that we could see two hurricanes. That is, when Marco projected to become a hurricane, it'll be well out in the Gulf, and Laura will be just coming off Cuba. And so there's a possibility right in there that we may see briefly two hurricanes in the Gulf. But just having two tropical systems is very unusual.
And so, like you said a second ago, that Marco is about a day ahead of Laura. What will be Marco is about a day ahead of Laura.
Right, about a day ahead, and so a Tuesday for that storm, and then Laura, which has a much longer track and takes some time, it'll come in on Wednesday. And right now it looks like the central Gulf Coast. Could be anywhere from New Orleans to, say, as far east as Apalachicola. The present track that they're using shows it coming in right into Mobile, but I wouldn't count on that. Things could change.
And you mentioned about Marco, because I want to circle back to Laura. You mentioned Marco, a hurricane, but maybe a minimal hurricane. Laura, what do you think? By the time it gets to the Gulf, are we looking at a situation where it can be more than just a Category 1, or is it too far out? Or
it could be more than a 1. It all depends on the conditions. When it leaves Cuba, and the coast of Cuba, and it will have suffered a lot of friction with the land areas. And but we do expect that once it gets out on the Gulf, it will reorganize and then grow into a tropical storm or hurricane, rather. Back in 1979, Hurricane Frederick came out of the Atlantic, and in a very similar way, it went over all of the islands. It visited Puerto Rico, Dominican Republic, Haiti, Cuba. And by the time it reached the western end of Cuba, it was disorganized. But within just about 12 hours, that storm generated and came back up to a full-fledged hurricane and then continued up to a Category 4 when it struck the Mobile area back in 1979. And so it's not saying that this is going to happen with this storm, but sometimes they can really sort of explode, grow rapidly in a short period of time, and that's what happened with Frederick back in 1979.
And you're pointing out situations now. I mean, the Gulf is as primed as it gets, right, for temperature, for water temp.
The Gulf is warm, and that's a big factor, but important for all tropical storms and hurricanes is the upper atmosphere. If the winds are too strong, then it tends to shear. That is simply tear the top part of the storm off, and it can't grow and may dissipate. And but right now, it looks like, in the case of Laura, that we will not see much in the way of shearing, which will enable it to grow and expand in size as it moves into the Gulf once it crosses Cuba.
All right, Dr. Bill, I know there's more days between now and, Tuesday and Wednesday, but we appreciate your forecast right now, and we'll get updates from you as we move forward into next week. We appreciate the latest information. Thank you.
Okay, Sean.
All right, there he is, our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, tropical weather expert, and be listening here on a Friday, tomorrow for updates on a Saturday, same thing Sunday. Of course, Monday, you'll be able to get those updates as well. And during the Mobile Morning Show that I'll be listening to along with you as our brand new addition, Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig, bring you Mobile Morning starting Monday morning. I'll be here for the midday show. I'm not going to let this thing go. We'll be right back. Danny Lipford joins us next. We'll talk with Danny about getting your house ready.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
1218 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Big thank you to Dr. Bill, and of course we'll be talking with him later on today. And updates from Dr. Bill on tomorrow and on Sunday, and then full weather discussions as we get closer to possible times of landfall either one or two of the tropical systems that he's just detailed for us. One of them having a name now, Laura. The other one will become Marco. All right, when we get these situations, I lean on my friends, and I lean on my buddy Danny Lipford. And, of course, you hear Danny every Saturday and Sunday here at FM Talk 106.5 with today's homeowner. And he's got this TV show thing. Danny, how's that going? How's the TV show going? Is it catching on like radio?
Well, I'm always glad when you ask about that other type of media like that. Well, we're about to enter into our 23rd season on national television, wow. The second oldest home improvement show in America. So it is going great. And we're back out there taping now and moving around to some different parts of the country taping. So everything's going great, my friend.
How's that been with the distancing and mask and rules in different states and all that? How do you navigate that doing what you do?
Well, we've only done three trips out, and it's just a little odd. I mean, when you're going through the Charlotte airport wearing your mask, it's 2:00 in the afternoon, but it looks like it's 3:00 in the morning because there's so few people, different stores and businesses are, you know, boarded up. It's just a little odd, and unfortunately, you're seeing people letting their guard down and slipping their mask off when they're in the plane, so it's just a little eerie, I'll have to admit.
But the fever for working on our homes just anecdotally, sitting where I sit, it looks like it's bigger than ever right now.
Well, last year, Home Depot had their biggest year they've ever had, a record year last year. Right now, they're tracking 23% ahead of what they were last year. You run by the Home Depot parking lot and it is certainly full, but it does seem like they're really trying their best on the distancing and requiring the mask, and their associates are doing the very best they can on that. So, you know, it's always one of those things, you can get in and get out. But one little side benefit though, for me, I can get in and out of a Home Depot in record time now with a mask on, whereas before,
yep,
I had to kind of hang out and answer a few questions here and there. So it's a little bit different there.
You like the mask. As long as he doesn't say anything and you hear his voice, you can go, oh, there he is right there. So as long as he's quiet, you're incognito. Okay, I want to and talk about this. It's a conversation you and I have had over the years, but there's always new information, new ideas here. Whether we get Laura or Marco or either of these storms, hopefully we don't, it's still a worthwhile discussion to have this time of year. And just, you have great tips for us as homeowners to things to check on, things to do before a storm would hit. Kind of walk us through what we should be doing.
Well, certainly. Well, you know, right now is a perfect time. The first call you need to make if you have any policy covers on your home. Things have changed a lot with wind damage and different flood coverages and so forth. If you're not 100% sure, that would be a terrible shock if you have to use that insurance and you're not sure exactly what it covers. Also, there's a lot of things when a storm enters into the Gulf of Mexico, how they will stop writing and stop changing your insurance. So that, if you don't know what you have there, that would be one of the first calls that you need to make. And of course, you know, I think about when people are hesitant to go out and buy hurricane supplies, plywood, water, all of these kind of things. Well, you know what? Those are things that if you don't need them, great. You can use them on other projects. You can, you know, donate them. You can use them for friends. But if you don't have them when the storm is bearing down on us, you're not going to get them because those stores are going to sell out no matter what they try to do to prepare for this. So those type of things are so good to do right now.
So get those supplies. And when we talk about supplies, you talk about water, but you mentioned plywood. All right. So what is this? What's the latest here? What is it worth doing plywood? Is it not worth doing plywood? I think we've conquered the tape doesn't do anything. So are you a plywood? Are you a plywooder?
Well, my new house, I didn't go plywood because I decided to go with the hurricane fabric, the material that's similar to Kevlar. So I have the studs, all the way around all of my windows and doors. I have all of my my panels labeled to where I will be able to go out with my screw gun and install these, and still takes a little time to do it. That's the other thing that a lot of people underestimate, how long it'll take to actually do it unless you have it all laid out. That's why absolutely plywood is good. But the only thing about it is if you haven't made preparations with studs or fasteners already around your windows and doors, then you hate to put those screws or bolts into your trim, but that's what it takes in order to protect it. But the National Storm Association, or what I'm not trying to think, the government says 5/8 inch plywood is what they recommend. That's, I don't know, 1/2 inch plywood will certainly provide a sufficient coverage, much better than nothing at all.
Yes, it's a lot easier to lift those sheets, too.
Well, so it is. And if you'll take your time and cut them carefully, go ahead and label them A, B, C, D, right around, and so forth. And it just makes it so much easier. And, yes, it's great if you can have someone to help you. A cordless screw gun, you can do a lot of coverage in a short amount of time.
You like those, you like the clips, and I know there's different brand names out there, but those clips that let you, like, instead of having to drill, you like using those? They've been good?
Especially with brick openings. When you have a brick opening and you have that 3 or 4 inch recess that you can use those pressure clips to push that in, that's pretty cool because you don't have to penetrate any of your trim work or, have to drill into brick. Yes, in most situations with a brick home, those are really, really good.
All right. What other tips do you use around the Lipford house, or you've seen used in all the jobs and all the shows you've done? What, like, give us something that we can apply here if we're looking at a storm come Tuesday.
Okay. Well, you think about some of the supplies that you buy. You think about, okay, you're going to get extra batteries. Yes, that's good. You can use those all year long. Extra water, that's good. How often, especially people that do a lot of things outdoors like you and I, a tarp, not just one tarp, get several tarps. They're so inexpensive and you'll use them all year long. But if you have a situation where that tree hits or something else hits your house, that $10 or $15 tarp is just invaluable, along with some rope and some duct tape. All of these things you'll use all year long, but you'll really need them if that storm hits. Another thing, over the years, just about all of us have generators now, but you don't use them all the time. Now's a perfect time, as soon as possible this weekend, go ahead and drain all of that fuel out of there and dispose of it properly. Make sure that air filter is replaced, or at least clean it real well. And then go ahead and make sure, change the oil in it. All of this is going to cost you about $10 at the most. And then go ahead and turn it on, make sure it's, let it run for a little while so that you know it's ready to go. And also, find those good extension cords that you have around there, not the little interior type that don't have the grounded prong on it. Go ahead and get those really good heavy-duty cords ready so that if that power goes off, you're able to do it. Because a lot of times, even a mild storm will create that tree falling across the power line and your whole neighborhood's out. You could be the one that still has electricity, still have the fans, still have your refrigerator going.
That's the most important. That's like the trifecta when you have those. Let's talk about other power equipment. I think about gas and draining. You had me thinking about things like this is a little bigger, but if you have that tree fall or you have maybe a smaller tree, chainsaws, those kind of things. I mean, you probably never let them get sedentary, but for other people, you recommend working on those?
Well, certainly if you do have, again, right now, any branch that is anywhere near your house needs to be trimmed back, because when the winds start blowing and those limbs are just scraping those shingles over and over and over, is going to cause damage. So trimming all of that back is a good thing to do now. In the event that a tree falls, you have to be real careful. If it falls anywhere near a power line, you need to leave it alone. If it's falling on your house, you have to realize there's a lot of tension on it.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful there. And you don't want to grab a chainsaw when you have some anxiety and you're traumatized a little bit. Take a breath. Look it over, think about it, and then approach it in a very, very safe manner. And I'll tell you, Sean, I don't know if you've tried some of the cordless chainsaws that are out now. They are unbelievable, so much better than the first generation that came out years ago that you could barely cut any twigs with them. These are serious power tools now and a lot easier to deal with than having the gas oil mixture that you normally would have to have.
Now, you got me started on that years ago, and it is. It's something, and I guarantee you, I use the electric chainsaw 3-to-1 to the gas powered. I mean, just more convenient. You know, it's less to deal with. I like mine.
But one of the things when you talk about, though, gas, it's a good, you know, again, like people like me and you, we've got gas cans scattered out all over the place.
Yep.
Let's get all of those together. Get those 5-gallon gas cans all accounted for. Get those ready to be filled up. It doesn't hurt to fill them up now if you keep them in a safe place, because, you know, if the gas stations are down, if you need some fuel for your generator, or maybe your neighbor needs a little help on that, you'll have a little stockpile that you'll be able to have. And also, any kind of charger, great time to get any battery powered tool that you have and get every battery you can find. Get all those 18 volt and those 40 volt batteries completely charged and ready to go. Locate those chargers so that you can plug those into your generator, because a lot of people now will have I know I have a fantastic 18 volt fan that I can pop that thing in, and for 3 or 4 hours this fan is great. That all those things you can use. And of course, we have to have communication. Make sure you have all your cell phone chargers ready to go and all your phones charged up, and any of your little power packs that you may have, every one of those, charge them all up and know where they are.
All right. We got our work cut out for us. Thank you, Danny, for pointing us in the right direction. And hopefully we will just, this will just be a dry run. We can hope that. Dry run.
I hope so. And I hate to wish it on anybody, but I certainly hope these steer out into the Atlantic or steer somewhere west, because we don't need it right now.
That's for sure. Danny, I appreciate it. We'll check back with you soon. Y'all stay safe.
Okay, you as well, Sean. Thanks.
All right, Danny Lipford, of course, you can check out his show tomorrow, right here at noon, the first airing of Danny's radio show. And then, of course, twice on Sunday. And it's just a great guy, great resource. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Friday style, this will be the last of the, I mean, not saying there won't be, you know, vacations or pinch hitting or something coming up in the future, but this is the last of the two-a-days for me for, you know, the foreseeable future. Been doing two-a-days, two shows a day on the station for, what, 11 years? And because somebody was asking me earlier about coming off the morning show. It's good because I'm so fired up about, you know, I've been wanting to do this for a long time, and I've found the right person. The right situation came up because Dalton is not only my coworker but my buddy, like everybody else around here. And I wanted to make sure if I'm going to put somebody on the show, it's somebody that I think is going to do a great job at it, and somebody that's going to work well with Dalton. And so we got that announcement this morning with Dan Brennan coming on board, part of the FM Talk 106.5 family. We're also fired up here, by the way, Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig debuts 6 Monday morning right here on FM Talk 106.5, which is and cool thing too, getting a national radio show host that checking in on us here. That's cool. On the phone, people checking in. Even in these big fancy syndicated people, they're checking. I guess it may be because the news cycle is showing there would be 2 hurricanes possibly in the Gulf at one time, and one of them, at least for now, is aimed right for Mobile Bay. But I just, there's no science behind what I'm going to say, but y'all are going to nod along with me because you know I'm right. I'd rather have the track laid out or the cone of uncertainty focused. What are we? Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So 4 days, 4.5 days. I'd rather have that on us now than later, right? Because how many times early on they got the track and the cone, then they start moving it. That's good. If it, I would rather be the first one to have it aimed at, so then they'll move away from us as we get closer. But like we're just talking about with Danny, it's worth getting things put together and check it out. It is August. We're looking at September. We do live on the northern Gulf Coast, so it's not a bad. We know wasted effort. It's worth going through and checking if you got everything locked down. So there'll be a lot of that going on this weekend. Yes, and I saw some text in here about those clips, and there's certain brand names, and so I'll just call them like the clips you put on the the plywood. Those things are, those things make a difference. At least they have for me. It makes it a lot easier when you're trying to do a, you know, one-person operation, that kind of stuff. It makes it way easier. All right, a couple of news headlines that you might have heard an update there from WKRG, and this story from their website, WKRG.com. Former City of Pritchard Chief of Staff James Blackmon sentenced today to 12 months and one day in federal prison on corruption charges. Blackmon was sentenced to prison on counts 1 and 18, which include concerning programs receiving federal funds and money laundering. Blackmon will also have to pay $200,000 to the City of Pritchard. You know, it's a, with all the big challenges Pritchard has, you to then have, I mean, it's not okay to have corruption anywhere, zero tolerance, but you look at the stories we've had over the years, you know, see, like Pritchard that's trying, you know, trying to better Pritchard. You've got federal funds come in trying, you've got outside, you know, state and federal funds trying to come in to help out this municipality, and then you got malfeasance. And it's not, this is not the first time, not the first name. What happens going forward? You continue to have these things. How do you do better there? How do you, because you have to have some, who wants to take on that job? I mean, would you want to take on that job? But it's for that reason that we continue over my lifetime, let alone in the shorter period of time of 11 years of this radio station, the stories we've had about corruption. It goes on in Pritchard, the place that can, not, once again, I'm not saying it's okay, any, it's okay nowhere, but the place that can least afford it. I got it going on. We got a note. Okay, note from Alabama Power. Let's see. Alabama Power is telling us, urging us to be prepared for hurricanes. All right, move along. They said they are closely monitoring the weather, and their crews in the Mobile area and across the state are supposed to respond if needed over the coming days. They tell us to stay tuned to local weather forecast as well. Sure, glad I got that. I tell you who we just give a shout out to, whether we get a storm here or go somewhere else, our Alabama Power crews. I don't know anybody in management. It's like most things. I don't know any of the managers at Alabama Power, but I do know linemen. And some of the best people I know, just good dudes. I'm thinking about two in particular, just good dudes out there. And so they may be working at home. If not, they may be working somewhere down the road on this. So, linemen, you're in our thoughts as we look at two storms, two possibly in the Gulf by Monday. What other, a couple of local news items. And coming up next hour, by the way. Bill Finch is going to join us right after 1 o'clock, because even though we talked to Danny Litford about some of the things to do around your house, we're going to focus with our expert, super gardener, Bill Finch, from Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast that you hear here on Sunday mornings. Bill's going to join us because not all trees are equal. You know, we've talked to Chris Francis about that on the show in the past too. Not all trees are equal that are in your yard. Some that you may say, okay, that one is close to the house, that's my big worry, but it may actually be a tree that's further away that should be your big worry because of the kind of tree it is and situation with that tree. So there's a little bit of having to analyze trees and branches in your yard to try to think what might be an issue for you, and that's why we have pros on the station to tell you about that. So Bill Finch will be joining us at 1 to talk more about that. So you got specific questions, you're thinking, maybe you know the kind of oak tree it is, or you know the kind of tree in general it is. If you want to put together those questions, send them through the text line or call in after 1. We'll get Bill to tackle those as well. Oh, and you see the update here on Governor Ivey and the poll workers? So here goes in the discussion of poll workers. And to me, what this shows is that poll workers that have been working for a long time, and usually a lot of retired folks do this, maybe are not feeling great about, you know, being at the polls come November. Heck, how about this coming Tuesday, right? For a lot of municipal elections. Well, Governor Ivey, in this update from Yellowhammer News, said Governor Ivey today issued a supplement to her emergency proclamation that will allow municipalities greater freedom to recruit and train election workers. Says almost every mid-sized and small city in Alabama heads to the polls next Tuesday, August 25th, to vote on their mayor and city councils. Of course, that is true around here. Should no candidate get 50% of any of those races, a runoff will then be held in October 6th. The order issued by the governor today allows cities to recruit poll workers from anywhere in the county where the city is located. So normally election workers have to live within the city limits where the election is happening. Ivy's proclamation, so it's an executive branch order here, allows cities to train their poll workers online and over the telephone to help reduce the risk of transmitting the coronavirus. Gina Mayola, press secretary for the governor, wrote in a press release here that Governor Ivey decided to issue the order, quote, after hearing reports from the League of Municipalities that some municipal governments are having difficulty recruiting election workers as a result of the pandemic, end quote. Proclamation only applies, okay, it's only for the municipals, it's not for the general, only applies to municipal elections August 25th and October 6th if they have to have a runoff. This story is... Because there's people probably that have worked for a long time at the polls who say, yeah, maybe not this year. There's going to be a shortage on poll workers there. So they're now loosening the restrictions. Well, this is, by the way, too, all the discussion we've had about mail-in voting this week and we've been having for months here on the station, it is different and it keeps getting conflated with absentee voting. Maybe there's someone out there, but none of the people I've been talking to on the show, and not me, not any of our other hosts here at FM Talk 106.5, have challenged absentee voting. And remember, Secretary of State John Merrill made it pretty darn easy to qualify for absentee voting going forward. So if you feel unsafe, you're on the other side of the Scantron there, and you feel unsafe going to vote, you can get an absentee ballot and vote that way. Now, the different rules and timelines to get that absentee ballot, it doesn't have near the challenges that mail-in voting does for mistakes, for fraud, because remember, in the case of absentee ballot, you ask for it. You pull it. In other words, I've said through this whole thing, push versus pull. Mail-in voting, they push out ballots to every registered voter, and then what happens. Absentee, you ask, you request, so you would know even if they're going to mail you, if you don't go down and pick it up, if they're going to mail you the absentee ballot, you're looking for it, you're expecting it. If it doesn't show up, you notify someone, then you send that back in. I keep hearing, and even I think some national stories that are like conflating the two, they are different. And absentee voting is easy to do, especially in 2020 in Alabama. All right, we'll get some news headlines and an update on the markets, and we'll be right back. It's Midday Mobile.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad you're here. Bill Finch joins us here in just about 10 minutes, 10, 13 minutes, something like that. We'll talk with him about just kind of walking around the yard, checking trees, what you need to look for if we do end up being where one of these storms hits. So Laura looks like the best track, but I will go back again and say, because 4 days out, where it's Mobile Bay where they're calling the storm to hit, is that I would rather be in that position because you know it's going to move. So I'd rather start off, have it aimed here, and then watch it move away from here. Right? That's what I'm sticking with. And y'all, I want you to say hello to my buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. This will be the second time I've talked to him. I got to see him first thing this morning because he brought us some donuts to celebrate Dan Brennan's announcement, and in addition, brought me one of those awesome Opinel knives. But we'll talk about that in a second. Angelo, let's talk some precious metals, man. How you doing?
Doing good. As you know, I'm trying to run your kind of schedule. Work from 5 in the morning until.
Yes, until it's finished. Yeah, you're up with the chickens this morning, too. And, man, we appreciate all the deliveries. And I do want to talk about this run of Opinel knives. These things are gorgeous. But first, let's talk of precious metals, because that's what people want to hear from us right now, or let's actually want to hear from you. Where are we in gold? Where are we in silver? Talk about what you've seen this week, what you expect going forward.
Well, it's been a really busy week here at the shop. Gold and silver, again, sort of bumped up. Gold got over $2,000 an ounce. Silver was in that $28 to $29 an ounce range. Now it's dropped back down again, so gold 1930, 1940 right now. Silver somewhere in the $26 to $27 range. So again, perspective. Jump back a year ago, we are way higher than we've ever been. You know, on gold, it would have been the highest ever. Look back the last couple of weeks, yeah, gold and silver have been a little bit higher. So we've had a lot of people coming into the shop selling some of their stuff they've had for a while, whether it's jewelry, sterling silver flatware, coin collections, gold and silver bullion collections. But we've also had a lot of people coming in. They've been trying to shop online, trying to shop at other shops. I mean, I'm talking from, you know, Mississippi, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, as well as Alabama. Those people are coming in looking for gold and silver, and they have been shocked at how much we have in stock here at Mobile Bay Coin.
Well, that's the key right now, when everybody wants it, is having it. And that takes some, I know it's some long-term relationships to make sure y'all can provide that. And I want to go back to this. I know we've done it several times, but it was a big eye-opener for me years ago when he told me about silver, that you watch a relationship between the price of silver and the price of gold. I mean, there's something to be said for that over time.
There is. You can go back historically, literally thousands of years, and look at the ratio in value between gold and silver. And historically, it's actually been in the 16 to 20 to 1 ratio. So 16 ounces of silver is equal in value to an ounce of gold. Crazily enough, a few months ago, it was in a 120, 130 to 1 ratio, where 130 ounces of silver was equal to 1 ounce of gold. Today, it's in that 70 to 1 ratio. So gold is high, yes. But if you look at it from a percentage ratio and a ratio number, silver has crept up a whole lot faster than gold has.
All right. So if people want to come by and get that kind of education and pick up some precious metal, y'all are there tomorrow as well, right?
Yes, sir. During the week, 9 to 5, right here in Midtown. Saturdays, 9 to 2. And come by the shop, take a look at the items, ask questions. If you've got questions about gold and silver, you want to get into it, but it's a little overwhelming, check out our podcast right there on the website, mobilebaycoins.com. That is, if you can't listen to it, right here on 106.5.
Yeah, which I was talking about. I loved Tuesday night's show. Just was enjoying it immensely. And y'all talked about collecting different things, and the whole time I'm thinking, well, for me, that means knives. And Angelo, it means knives, too, among other things. We talk about these open-L knives. Y'all have made me an absolute convert to a manufacturer I didn't even know about until I saw them in your store. And now I'm holding one of the prettiest open-L that I have in the collection, this with this gray handle with this wood grain. Talk to folks about it. If they've heard us say the name, what's the story? What makes these things different?
So open-L is just a classic French knife. They've been around literally for 130 years. This is their 130th anniversary of open-L as a company. The design is very simple and classic and straightforward, very sexy, very beautiful. It's hard to say that about a knife, but once you see one or have one in your hands, you're going to understand. And Sean, tell everybody the dilemma with that 130th anniversary knife that you've got.
You're gonna out me here in front of everybody. Okay, so Angelo dropped off the gray wood grain that I'm so in love with, the number 8, and then the 130th anniversary one that he said, well, what do you think of it? Did you open it up, mess with it? I said, I haven't even taken the plastic off the case because I want it to be in mint condition. I mean, you have changed me because I was always only utilitarian in my knives, and I still have plenty of utilitarian knives, but I haven't even opened the shrink wrap stuff around this box yet. This thing is gorgeous, and I want to keep it that way.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Next time you come to the house, I'll let you take a look at mine,
and then
that way you can still keep yours in pristine condition. How's that work, Sean?
Then I can laud it over you. So, yeah, well, mine, that's in super mint condition. All right, Angelo, these knives, y'all got to check them out. They make great gift items for yourself or others, and they're available at the store as well. Give people more direction. You say Midtown. How do we find you?
Yeah, we're in Midtown at 2204 Government Street. Of course, you can go online, mobilebaycoins.com, or if you want to see some of this cool stuff and new pretty stuff as it comes in, check us out on Instagram and on Facebook.
Great. Angelo, have a great weekend, and we'll talk next week.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and fine jewelry, and I should say pretty darn cool knives. These are great. And I got into, you know, I like them for myself, and then I'll buy some extras, just for like a pro tip here. Buy some extras, keep in a drawer. You know, I get the word. And say, oh, by the way, we got to go to so-and-so's house. They're having a birthday party. And I go, oh, I do have a gift. I have it stashed away in a drawer. So it's a good thing. All right. Coming up, Bill Finch is going to join us. Also, where's that story? Oh, yeah, there it is. Just a quick thing. This is not even not a local news story. It's just something I thought might abuse you out there. The story out of Florida, I know, big shocker. A woman named Rena Sanders, 38-year-old from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. On Monday, she led police on a drunken high-speed chase. Okay, so you're like, all right. Cop tried to pull her over her Lexus, and they clocked her doing 80 in a 45. She didn't stop at that point. She went ahead and picked it up to 90 miles an hour, at which point she fishtailed and almost crashed. The police finally boxed her in, ordered her out of her car at gunpoint. Okay. Well, I mean, that's still something, but here's what might make it different than other stories coming out of Florida like that. Once they had Rena Sanders in custody, she tried to talk her way out of the ticket and going to jail by name-dropping, right? Celebrities she supposedly hung out with that would come to help her. So, law enforcement folks, tell me on the text line if you want to, if the person you pulled over said they were friends with Owen Wilson, Ryan Reynolds, and The Rock, would you let somebody go on that? She also demanded that they order pizza on the way to jail so they can pick it up. She's facing charges for reckless driving, DUI, resisting arrest, drug possession, and released on $56,000 bond. Claims she's 100% innocent. We'll see if The Rock shows up at her arraignment. We'll be right back. Hour number two on the way.